ready. Come on, you got. Come on, the louder you clap, the better I preach. Come on, give me the best clap and go. Come on. All right. Hey, today we're kicking off a new series called Change Your Sound. How many know sound is everywhere, right? Sound moves us, the sounds that we hear, the sounds that we make, the sounds that we put in, the sounds that come out of our mouth, the sounds that we choose to make. They shape us. They shape our environment. They shape our atmosphere. They shape our home. They shape our church. They shape our expectancy, what God is wanting to do in our midst. And so we're going to be talking about changing your sound. This is going to be a fun series. We're going to have a good time. I tell you what, we had a good time in the first service today. I hope you're ready for what God's going to do in your life this morning. Let's go ahead and jump right into it today. Let's get to our text, Mark 2. Mark 2, verse 22. And when Jesus taught, Jesus was always good about teaching. He was a master teacher. And one of the things we know about Jesus teaching, he always taught in principles and ways we can understand. As he was teaching in that time, he taught into a place for their time that they could actually understand. That's why he taught a lot about the harvest, about reaping and sowing and reaping and the harvest. He talked a lot about shepherding and goats and sheep and fish and coins and houses. And he talked about things we could understand. One of the ways he talked about also was the vineyards. He talks about vineyards, and he talks about he is the vine and we are the branches. And he talks about those who work the vineyards many times. And this is one of the other ways he talked about right here is he gives the illustration about those who work the vineyards and those who prepared the wine. He says, and no one pours the new wine into the old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they are new wine. Everybody say new. Come on, say new. There we go. New wine goes into what? New wineskins. This is a principle here that we're learning, that this, that if you put old wine, I mean, put new wine into old wineskins, what happens is you take the wineskins while they're soft and you pour the new wine in there, so when it expands and settles in, that it will shape into the container it needs to be to hold the wine. And so if you take a old wineskin that already has been hardened up and formed and pour the new wine in there, as it expanded, as it filled there and expanded, it would oftentimes always break and shatter the old wineskin, and the wine would be poured out everywhere. The container's ruined because it was not ready to handle. The old wineskin was not ready and could not handle the new wine that was being poured into it. And so Jesus was saying this, that this is really a metaphor for our lives spiritually, that God wants to pour something new into our life. You can't take the new things of the heavenlies and pour them into the old flesh. Your flesh won't handle it. And so we got to prepare ourselves now to receive something new of God. How many want something new of God? Are you praying, God, take me to a new level? Are you taking me to a higher dimension? Are you going to do something new in my life, fresh in my life, new? Well, if you want God to do something fresh and new in your life, then you got to prepare yourself now. Say, God, help my wineskin now to be ready to hold what you're wanting to pour out. He won't take the old, and he'll never pour it into the new. See, we keep waiting on God to make a move. This is really our response. Let's be honest. This is really, as a church, this is where we are at. God, I'm waiting on you to make a move. God, I'm waiting on you to do something. We wait for God to move, and then I'll move. Well, when God moves, I'll move. And what happens is that I see this happen a lot with people who chase after revival. So revival break out, and people they run to Florida, or they run to Canada, and they run to everywhere. There's nothing wrong with attending revival. I'm not against it at all. But what I'm saying is this, is that our idea sometimes, and our idea about revival can really be messed up. Because God doesn't want you just to run to revival. He wants you to prepare yourself to receive a revival where you're at now. You should go there and be inspired. Say, I want to come back and prepare myself for the new wine God wants to pour out of my church, in my area, in my life, my home. I got to prepare myself. Well, see, you don't know what's going on in that area. You don't know what that church went through to prepare themselves for the outpouring that God gave them. We want to just jump in and get on it, but we don't realize they've been fasting. They've been praying. They've been sacrificing. They've been giving. They've been serving. They've been building. They've been preparing themselves for many times years for the move of God that came their way. And so what we got to get in our heart is this. We say, I'm waiting for God to move, and then I'll move. No, 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 no. See, God's already moved. He's already spoke you into existence. He's already sent his son to die on the cross. He's already paid your debt upon the cross. See, he's ready for you to move. The move is yours. I had some friends in college that used to go in, and they played chess. and they were roommates, and they were on different schedules, so they always had a card on there that says whose turn it was, and they pointed his turn or his turn, you know. And I'd always go in there and went around and always mess it up and just turn the card around, so I always messed the game up. I had a lot of fun doing that. Anyway, what I'm saying is just that sometimes we're that way. We're waiting for the arrow to be pointed to God. All right, God, it's your turn. All right, God, it's your turn. And God's like, no, I've already put the arrow back on you. You move. You prepare yourself to receive. You prepare your heart to receive. You prepare yourself to receive. You make a move, and then I'll pour out to you the new wine that I have for you. I'll pull you to where I'm wanting to take you, but you got to position yourself to receive. And this is the problem. Sometimes church is the last ones to let go of old things. See, if you're going to receive something new of God, you got to let go of old things. Say, God, I want to receive something new of you. And I got to let go of some things I've been hanging on to, even though there's nothing wrong with those things. I just got to say, God, I got to let go of some things. And say, God, I want to experience something new and fresh in you. And let's just be really honest that, man, sometimes church is the last one to ever give up on old things. There's churches today, you know what I'm talking about. We can walk in some churches today, and it's like walking in time warp. You go right back to the 40s and 50s. From decor to the songs they sing. It's right back there. And for some reason, whatever that church went through, they kind of get stuck in a time warp. They never move beyond when God really moved in that church. And they hang on to those things. And those are great things. Those are great memories. There's nothing wrong with that. But we got to say, God, I want something new. That's why at Destiny, even though we don't experience that because we've been a new church, a new church plant, we've got a destiny in our heart now that we don't make any sacred cows. We don't make anything where I'm saying to say, this is our idol. This is the way we did it. Remember when we grew during this time? This is the song that really moved me, and we're going to sing this song forever. We can't sing the anthem forever, okay? It's a good song now, and we sing it a lot, but it's going to be fresh songs that are going to come, and we got to open up to that. We're not singing, we got to be ready, God, to do a new thing in my life. And so we're not going to allow, I'm not going to allow our church to be a church that comes in and gets stuck in a rut, okay? I'm not going to allow you to. I'm going to challenge you to grow. I'm going to challenge you to open up your heart to new things. I'm going to challenge our praise team. They tell you, we stretch each other, don't we? We stretch where we're at. We're trying new things, and we're singing new songs, and we're going to try new things. Why? Because we're not going to get stuck in a rut. Because God wants to do something new, I want to position myself to receive that. But see, God's just the opposite. God's waiting on us to make a move. We're waiting on God, and God's waiting on us. Take a step forward and see if he doesn't do something. But he waits for you to make a move toward him. See, look at this statement I made. God will not pour out something new into our spirit if we don't prepare ourselves to receive it. You think he's going to pour new wine when I'm not even looking at him and have my cup ready to receive it? No, I want to be in receiving position. Anybody getting the picture here? God, I want to be in receiving position. I want my hands raised to catch what you're going to send my way. I want to be, so when you pour it out, I'm ready to receive it. I've got to prepare myself ahead of time to receive where God's taking me. See, with Zacchaeus, remember, he saw Jesus coming. Remember, he climbed up the sycamore tree? Did Zacchaeus wait until the crowd was all around him? He's like, I think I'll just climb this tree to see if I can see Jesus. No, it had been too late. By the time he got up the tree, Jesus would have been gone. But he saw Jesus way far off. And he was like, if I'm going to see Jesus, I better climb this tree and position myself to see the Lord. And he had already ahead of time climbed the tree, positioned himself to see God. And when God passed by, he looks up and says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down from here. God noticed him. God seen him. And one of the greatest transformations we ever see in Scripture was the story of Zacchaeus. And one afternoon, God transfers this guy's life. He goes from being the most hated man in society to a man who's going back paying everything he'd ever stolen. Given to the church, following after God, abandoned. I mean, this transformation happens. Why? Because Zacchaeus prepared himself ahead of time. He positioned himself to see the Lord. How many of us position ourselves to see the Lord? Did you position yourself before you came in? God, I can't wait to get in your presence. God, I can't wait to worship you. God, I am positioning myself now to receive everything you have for my life. Since the first of the year, God has been speaking to me directly and says, I want you to reposition yourself, Gene. He goes, I'll just tell you this. Early on, before I ever started the church, God showed me a vision of a church where the sound that was coming out as a sound of praise, the sound of worship, where people were being healed in the middle of worship. People are being saved in the middle of worship. People are being baptized with the Spirit in the middle of worship. People are crying in the middle of worship. People are dancing in the middle of worship. Some people are kneeling in the middle of worship. Some are being in God's presence, are being touched and transformed. And it was happening. It was a sound that was coming forth. And then he spoke to me the first year and said, I'm preparing you for a new sound. I'm preparing your church for a new sound. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I said, how, God, how do you want me to get ready? He said, I want you to lose weight. I'm like, God, I can't be you because I had nothing to do with the Lord, you know? How many want to rebuke that demon in the name of Jesus? Satan, get behind me. I get all spiritual, you know. He said, I'm just telling you. He goes, spiritually, you're ready, Gene, but physically, you're not. I said, why? He goes, this is what God told me. He said, I'm going to send a new generation to your church. He goes, I'm getting ready to send. He goes, they're already there, but I'm going to send even more. There's going to be an abundance of a new generation coming to your church. He goes, you got to get yourself in position physically to lead them. He goes, I've anointed you to be a generational pastor. He goes, you're always going to have the anointing to reach the next generation. He goes, I've gifted you with that. I think if you're here, you understand that gifting God has given me. And so he said, but I want you to position yourself to do that. So I had to begin to do that ahead of time. Now, you want to know what the biggest age group we're growing in right now is? 18 to 28. That's one of the biggest age groups we're growing in our church right now. Isn't it awesome? Yeah, it's a great thing. Our church is growing in all ages, but one of the biggest groups right now is that age. Did I wait until they get here? Oh, they're getting here. I better start losing some weight. I got to pastor these young adults. I got to keep up with them, man. No, I got to do it ahead of time, preparing myself before they ever get here for what God's wanted to do. It's a positioning. I'm positioning myself. God, I want you to use me as a generational pastor. I know we're reaching all generations. I want to stay relevant. I want to make sure we're not building any sacred cows. I want to make sure that we're preparing for the next generation. Continue to flow through. It's an easy thing. Preparing now for what you're going to do. It's a sound that God's wanting to do, a fresh new sound. So you can't put a move of God into old traditions. Let me say again, you can't put a new move of God into old traditions. Psalm 96:1 says it very clearly. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Right? Psalm 33:3. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Webster says renew means to make new. A new thing. Make me a new thing. And so we see, and this is scripture, like this is found all through scripture, where we're commanded to sing new songs. I never see in scripture where we're commanded to sing an old song. There's nothing wrong with singing old songs. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against that at all. But what I'm trying to tell you is the Lord is wanting us to make sure that we keep new things in our life, position ourselves in new ways, that we're open to new things, the new move that God wants to do in our life. Created me a new heart that we're saying, God, I don't want to just live off of what happened yesterday. I don't want to live off what happened 10 years ago. I want something new today. I can't live off what happened to me 20 years ago. I want something new today. I want a fresh touch. Well, that's good for that young generation, Pastor. I'm all for it. God bless you. No, God wants to reach you too, fresh and anew, no matter what your age is here today. Matter of fact, if you are 60 years or older in the house today, we did it in the first service. I want to do it again here today. If you're 60 years or older, can you just stand up this morning? Just stand up. We want to see where you're at. There we go. Come on, give these guys a hand clap. Yeah. Thank you, guys. I want to tell you why I love this, because they've already got this. They wouldn't be here if they didn't already have the sermon in their heart. Because they didn't walk in this church thinking, oh, this is like I used to go to. No, it comes in, it's a lot louder. New songs are being sung, and they love it because why? Their spirit is saying, I'm being re-energized. God is doing something new. I love new songs that are coming forth. I see a new generation coming out. And God, I want to be a part of that move. I want to be a part of that spirit. I want to be a part of that praise. I want to be a part of that worship. And God is refiring them up, and God is doing so. So I thank you. We honor you today for being a great godly example to us. One more time, give me a hand. I appreciate it very much. They're not here because they had to. They didn't get stuck with me. They chose to be here. So I know that they have the right heart. This is why they're here. And we got to make sure that that is transferred down to us, that we don't allow it to stop us. See, some of you are crying out for God to change your marriage, but you haven't learned anything new about marriage in 10 years. Some of you, the only thing you've learned new about marriage is when you did some, maybe some marriage counseling before you got married. God, I want you to change my husband. Well, do you know how to honor your husband if God changes him? Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I want you to change my wife. I need to be the head of the house. Well, do you know how to die? To serve your family. Are you ready to crucify your flesh? Because Jesus was the head and he was crucified for us. And so, guys, you want to be the head of your house, you'll be ready to crucify yourself or your family. Well, I ain't ready to do that. Well, you ain't ready for the new thing God wants to do in your life. I position myself. God, I'm crucifying myself. I'm ladies. You're asking God to do something in your husband, or you're asking God to do something in your wife, guys. You've got to position yourself now for that change. You can't get something new from God, then take it and dump it on something old. It doesn't work. That's why if you're saved today, got something new in your heart, you can't take your new experience of salvation and then go back and jump in with your old friends and expect it to gel. It doesn't happen. You're going to have to take that new thing, and you're going to have to surround yourself also with some new people. Not that you have to get rid of your old friends, but what I'm saying is I got to take the new things of God, and I got to pour it in some new relationships that are going to strengthen me, disciple me, encourage me to be better. I can't take something, you know, if God does something in my life, I can't take that and expect people who don't have an understanding, old people who have a flesh mindset would never understand what God's doing in my life. I got to be around people who understand that as well. You can't expect to have a different kind of boyfriend if you keep going and dating at the same places. Oh, that's just good right there. I didn't cost you anything. That was free today. See, God puts new wine in the new wineskins. I don't know why God doesn't just send me a better boyfriend. Well, maybe you should try a different place. Just saying. Look what 1 Corinthians 1:25 says. 1 Corinthians 1:25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, but many of you were influential. Not many of you were noble at birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Basically, what God's saying is that sometimes the world will never understand where you're at. When God wants to do a new thing in your life, it will not make sense to anybody else who doesn't understand. The world will never understand why you come to church every Sunday. You're going to church where? You were just there like last week. Why don't you go to the lake, man? It's summertime. Be at the lake. Come on. Every Sunday, you should be at the lake. Every Sunday. No, I went there on vacation. We were there for the holiday. But, you know, I'm going to be at church on a regular basis. Why? Because God's changing my life. They don't understand that. What are you doing? It's nice outside. It's not even Easter or Christmas, and you're going to church. They don't understand that. You're serving where? You're teaching children. You're helping do this. You're giving God 10% of your money. What do you do? What are you thinking? They can't comprehend that. They don't understand that kind of investment. They don't understand the spiritual investment. They don't understand when God's got the power to multiply in your life. They can't comprehend that. You're giving your time. You don't even like kids, and you're helping kids out. I know you. You don't have any patience at all. And here you are serving, helping serve kids. They don't understand that. It makes no sense to them. They'll never comprehend that. Let's be honest. If someone who walked in who has no biblical knowledge at all, has no spiritual knowledge at all, walks into our doors this morning, they're probably like, okay, these people are a little crazy. They're raising their hands. They're crying. Some of them are jumping up and down. I mean, this is kind of weird, man. There's no game on. It's a big screen. No game on. This isn't Buffalo Wild Wings. What's happening here? These people are getting excited for no reason. The world will never understand or make sense about what God's doing. See, God takes those things that seem foolish, and he uses them to develop us. Look through Scripture. He asked people to do some of the craziest things to produce the fruit he wanted in their life. I mean, he made a widow give away her last meal to the prophet in order that he could feed her for a lifetime. He asked us sometimes to do crazy things. He'll ask you to dig a ditch and fill it full of water and soak your sacrifice over and over again with water, and then say, God's going to send fire and burn it up. I mean, he'll ask you sometimes to do crazy stuff in Scripture. He asked people to do some crazy. It looks crazy for David to head up and face a giant with just a couple of stones in his pocket. That looks ridiculous to those who think about it. Modern warfare. They're not going to come back and study that. Let's talk about David and his stones. I mean, come on. It doesn't make sense to the outside eye. But God has a thing he's trying to do. He's trying to build your faith. Because faith comes by what? Hearing. Everybody say hearing. See, there's a sound. We must understand God moves with sound. Understand that God moves with sound. God moves with sound. When God looked out into darkness, it was just all there, right? But when God made a sound, he calls it out. In the beginning, the earth was without form, right? It was void. But God spoke a sound. He said, let there be light. And bam, there was light. See, when God speaks, makes a sound, things move. Things change. When God's speaking, when God's moving, things change. He has always geared us and geared himself to move with sound. This is why what we're putting in, the sounds we're making, they mean a whole lot spiritually in our life, in the environment, the atmosphere. See, faith makes you ignore what your physical eyes see and says, I'm going to go off of what my spiritual eyes hear. See, spiritually, I hear God speaking to me, and I see it long before it ever happens. You gotta see your kids coming back to the Lord long before they're ever back to the Lord. You gotta see your marriage getting better before they ever gets better. You gotta see your finances turning around long before they ever turn around. You gotta see you getting that new job long before you get the new job. You gotta see that promotion long before you get the promotion. You gotta see doors opening before they're opened. You gotta see things working out before that happens. You gotta see yourself healed before you're healed. And when the Spirit speaks to you, when you're listening to the sound and the Spirit speaks to you, you hear it and you position yourself then to walk in that blessing, to walk in that promise, to walk in that next level that God's calling you to walk in. I've seen things many years ago, and you know, I had to begin to prepare myself now for the things I'm seeing now. I already see a building. I already see thousands of people coming. Anybody else can see that with me? I already see them now. They're there yet? No, but spiritually I hear it. Now the world tells me, you can't build a church in this economy. This economy, you want to try to build a new church? And that's what our natural eyes say. But no, when the Spirit of God speaks, he says, I'll give you $1 million worth of equity if you'll just trust me. My natural eyes don't see it. But my spiritual eyes begin to hear it and begin to line up, and then God brings it to pass. I'm telling you, you got to see things with the sound. God, what are you saying? That's how my life operates. God, what are you saying? To my friends, it doesn't make sense. To your family who are not Christians, it will not make sense. But when God calls you and God speaks to you, the sound will come. Follow after it. It was Elijah said, I hear the abundance, the sound of abundance of rain long before the rain ever came. He prophesied, said, I hear the sound. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, but he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain during the drought long before the rain came. Those in the upper room heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind long before the fire was passed out. I'm to live by faith and not by sight. A second. I'm to live by faith and not by sight. I live by faith and not by sight. How do I live by faith? By following the sound. Following the sound of the Holy Spirit. See, your miracle starts. So listen to this. Your miracle starts with what you hear. And you choose to see in your spirit long before you see it with your eyes. Your miracle starts with what you hear and choose to see in your spirit long before you see it with your natural eyes. It was the Ark of the Covenant. Remember the Ark of the Covenant when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament? When David had the Ark of the Covenant coming, they sent out the tribes of Judah. That was with the praisers. He had the trumpet players out there. He had all the horns blowing. Man, it was a big deal. Anytime in the presence of God you see in Scripture, it was a big deal. It was always a lot of sound around. It was always followed by sound. He had the presence of God being carried into the temple, and he had Judah out there. They're out there worshiping. He had the dancers out there. They're out there dancing. The praisers are out there. The priests are out there. The congregation is worshiping. They're celebrating. They're playing tambourines. They're blowing the trumpets and the horns. They're playing their instruments, and they're carrying the presence of God. I mean, it was a celebration beyond all celebrations. Man, they are partying with God. I mean, they are making a sound of praise that's going throughout the nation. And they carry the presence of God into the temple. And what happens? David orders it 24 hours a day. There's to be a sound. And 24 hours a day, they had skilled musicians playing before the Lord. They played the harp. They played the string instruments. They played the trumpets. They sang. They played before the Lord. A sound followed the presence of the Lord 24/7. Why? Because the presence of God moves with sound. It's linked together. If you haven't figured it out by now, it is. And I'm going to show you here in just a second. See, in the New Testament, it was Paul and Silas. They were in jail, chained up, and they began to praise the Lord. A new sound came out of their mouth. It was in that prison as they let a new sound come out of their mouth that chains began to fall off their hands. Chains began to fall off their legs. So the prison doors began to shake and be rattled and become wide open. Why? Because they made a new sound. Their eyes sure didn't feel like it. I can guarantee you that. Well, you look pretty rough, Paul. Well, Silas, you ain't looking no better. When they really whipped you good, didn't they? Man, you go. I mean, those guys were in pain. I'm sure they were starving, mistreated. And they chose to have a new sound. They could have said, oh, woe is me. Look at me. Look at how much I've lost. God, I've lost all this for the gospel. I'm just trying to plant a new church. And look what's happened to me. I'm just trying to be a church planter. It's all I'm trying to do. And people crucify me. I've been there before. Anybody else that I'm talking about? They're just trying to crucify me. And I can sing that song as woe is me. Or I can say, God, I'm going to praise you through my storm. God, I'm going to praise you no matter what. God, I'm going to let my praise come out of my mouth. I'm going to let a new sound of praise. I'm going to let a new sound rise up in my heart, in my voice. I'm going to produce a new sound and allow those things that are holding me back begin to fall off. Things fall off when a new sound of praise comes. See, God built you and me to be wired. He wired us to move with sound. See, Hollywood figured this out a long time ago. Do you realize that? Hollywood figured it out. They've always used music in their movies, but really in the 70s, they really caught on to this machine of soundtracks linking with movies so that you would buy a movie and then relate the song to the movie and have emotions driven in the movie to a higher level by playing certain songs in the movie. I mean, what do you think of when you hear this song? Some of you right now, you're standing up a little taller. That's right. Some of you right now, you're wanting to stand up right now where you're at. And you're like, you want to run up these steps right now. I mean, you can't hear that song and not take you back to emotion or feeling. Doesn't it? I mean, some of you going right back to 1979 when you was a kid, or some of you adults. If you heard that song for the first time, it's all in the movie. And now every time you hear that song, you want to go get every bully that ever picked on you all your life and kick their tail. I mean, just something about you wants to rise up, train and fight and exercise a little more. I know that when I was first exercising, man, I put that soundtrack on at my last part of my workout every time because it would just push me over the top because I wanted to give up. And I'd put it in, I'd be like, I'd be in there. It's really stupid, but anyway, it helped. Why? Because music drove me to emotions that I was needing. What do you think of when you hear this song? I mean, you can't hear that song. Come on, once you want a poppy collar, walk a little taller. You want to get some high heel shoes on? What? Anyway, that's a different show. Okay, same character. But you know what I'm talking about. You can't hear that song and not take you back when you first heard that music. Some of you from the disco age, you know what I'm talking about. You wanted to go home right now and get your bell bottoms on. Who had the big afro? Anybody had a big afro in here? Okay, all right. Just coming back at you. All right. You can hear songs, they move us, don't they? Song, we could play certain love songs here and it would take you right back to junior high school. That first dance. Sweaty palms and dancing with that girl that you wanted to dance with. You may hear a song that takes you back to your marriage. You may hear a song that takes you back in time. And music builds memories and it motivates us and it helps us connect with the moment it's happening. That's the way God's wired us. Why? Because He's wired that way. We're made in His image. God has made us. See, Hollywood figured this out a long time ago. You see, even society knows this. If a fast food restaurant wants you to get in and out fast, they play music that has been scientifically figured out and tested that proves that people will come in, eat faster, and get out of there faster because they want to make more money. So they have small restaurants, but if people come through, they herd you through like cattle. Come on, get you one. Here's the value meal. Order fast. Here's the music. You have to eat fast and get out. Make room for somebody else. It's all about money, 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 money. I mean, they get you through there. But if you go to a place that wants you to sit down and they want you to experience a 7-course meal and they want you to have the finer dining experience in life and they want you to take your time and they want you to spend a lot of money, what do they play? They play music that relaxes you, that you're comfortable with. They'll play classical or jazz or something that just really easy going so that you'll relax and say, yeah, this is good. This is good. See, society knows this already, that music, the sound we hear, drives us. The sound we're producing, it drives us. If stores want your kids to come there and spend their money, they will target them, won't they? That's why you walk into certain stores and they are playing music targeted right at our children. Why? Because they want their money. They want you to come. They want your kids to say, spend money here, daddy. Mommy, spend money here. If they're after your money, they'll play your generation music. You can walk in a store and hear what they're playing and know who they're targeting, whose wallet they want. Ted, I want you and Mike and Chuck, come on up, and musicians, come up a second, join me. How many of music drives us, doesn't it? Music drives us and it leads us into different places. We connect with music. Sound we hear, it means a lot. And some of you think, well, it's not that important. Why is this important in church? Why do we need to worship God like this? Why do we need fast songs? Why can't we just sit and relax? Why can't we just sit in church and be quiet? You know, why can't we just go to church and sing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. I don't want to change, my Lord, Kumbaya. My friends can go to hell, Lord, I don't care, Kumbaya. Because I'm stuck in a rut, Lord, Kumbaya. Isn't the presence of God so good today? I don't know about you, but that motivates me to do other things other than go to church. God is wanting us to link up with a new sound. He's wanting us to link up because he's driving you with passion. He wants to do something new in your life, and he wants to prepare you. He wants you to have a new wineskin. He wants you to be open to receive. I can read the 23rd Psalm and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me beside the still waters. That's pretty powerful, but how about we do it like this? Go ahead, Ted. Why don't you play that? What if I say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. He refreshes my soul. Though he guides me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, see, same thing's happening, but music took you there, didn't it? The sound took you right into the moment. Some of you were right there beside the still waters. Yeah, I was right there, man. I was in the hammock with my Bible open. And I was in the shade, and I was reading the pastor. I was there, pastor. I was experiencing it. Something about music drives us to that. Go ahead, Mike. Give me a little beat here. Give me some beat. Oh, yeah. Or if I read Psalms 150, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for surpassing greatness. Praise the Lord with the sounding trumpet. Praise the Lord with the lark and here. Praise the Lord with the string instruments. Praise the Lord with the tremble. Praise him with the drums. Praise him with the pipes and the strings. Praise the Lord with the clashing of cymbals. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. It just moves you right now. Let's try that same thing again. Ted, play that same song you just played. Praise the Lord, all you generations, man. Praise the Lord, all you people. Praise Him with the loud drums and the loud cymbals. Doesn't really work, does it? See, that's why it's important. The sound connects with the message. That's important, why the sound connects. What you're hearing really matters to you. Some of you didn't even realize you've been hearing stuff all the time. I don't even know why. Why? It's moving me into the position God wants me to be in. It's preparing my heart to receive the word of the Lord. It prepares me. The Bible says David had skilled musicians playing. So if you just started taking lessons this week, you're probably not going to play here. I'm just telling you right now. You got to get skilled first. Get some skill. Practice. Maybe someday. You got to get skilled because why? Sound matters. Sound matters. What we're listening to, the things we're taking in, it matters. The voices that you're hearing, it matters. The advice you're listening to, it matters. The music you listen to, it matters. The sound coming out of your mouth, it matters. It changes atmospheres. It changes environment. It changes outlook. It changes your hope. It changes your faith. It moves you. Some of you say, I have no passion in my marriage, Pastor. There's no passion in my marriage at all. There's no romance in my marriage. Well, I say to you, begin to change your sound. Quit coming home and talking about all the bills and the worst day you've had and everybody's so bad to you and complaining about how bad the kids were today. How about just put the kids to bed early? Husbands, help get the housework done early. Light a few candles and change the sound. And drop your voice down low like this. Turn to your wife and say, "You are so beautiful. Yes, you are, girl. Na 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 to me." I come home singing like that and change the sound. What happens? My wife comes floating across the room. She's like butter in the arms of her man. What happened? I just changed the sound. I'm always arguing. I'm always complaining. You want a different response out of your husband? Change the way you talk to him. You want a different response out of your wife? Change the way you talk to her. She challenged. This is not about just spiritual. I'm not talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about where we live at too. This is spiritual. Change the sound. Change your environment. Anybody else suffer with chaos in your home when your kids get up and you're trying to get ready for school or work? We have a lot of children at home. That's me. I tell you, we're there. Sometimes it's a nut house in my house. Five kids trying to get ready and mom and dad, especially on Sunday mornings for church. I'm trying to stay in the right frame of God, hear from God, and my kids are like, "No, that's my sock. Oh, that's my sock. Get my shoes off. Those are my shoes. That's my gel. That's my hair. That's my deodorant. That's my toothpaste. That's my toothbrush. Yuck! Ah!" I was sitting there. No, I called it first. The sound can be chaos sometimes. So those times we just gotta crank up the worship music in our house and just turn it up loud. And it's like we turn up loud and all of a sudden things just begin to calm down a little bit. We get in the car and you put five kids in the car like, "Get that to me!" I'll put on worship music sometimes. They don't even know. I'm just Pastor Gene's just pulling all kinds of church music out, putting it right in there. All of a sudden there's a peace of God just begins to settle in that car. And if I don't work, Dad, I pull it over and rebuke the devil out of him. You're going to listen to the sound, this sound. I tell you right now, sound of my belt coming out that loops. It's happened, hasn't it, kids? They tell you, it's happened. They don't want Dad to pull that car. It's happened a few times. Okay. But it happens. As soon as they hear that brakes, the sound of that brakes, they know, ooh, we in trouble now. Dad, don't pull the car over. Sound produces results. It produces a change in atmosphere. What I'm telling you is this. Change the sound of your home. You don't like the environment that's there. You don't like what's going on. Change the sound of your home. Say, "God, I'm going to put your presence alive in my home. I'm going to put your presence alive in my marriage. I'm going to change what's coming out of me." You want to walk to work and people quit avoiding you? The reason is you're a negative person and no one wants to be around you. That's what the problem is. The sound coming out of your mouth is always negative, complaining. So people avoid you. You want people to embrace you and like you, to come up and give. So you know what? This is going to be a great day. This is going to be the best day of work we've had in a long time. We're gonna produce today. We're gonna have an award-winning day. We're gonna do things. And hey, man, I appreciate you today. You're such an uplifter. You're an encourager. People want to gravitate toward you. They'll pull right to you. Oh, I want to be around this person. Can I work with them? Hey, volunteer to work with you. People volunteer. Hey, go sit at my table at lunch. Let's go with me to lunch. Why? Because they like being around people who have a good sound. See, sound produces a lot of things in our life. It produces praise. It can produce an environment that we don't want to be in. How many are ready for a new sound to come out of your mouth? How many are ready for a new sound to come in your ear? How many are ready for God to do a new sound in your life? I'm ready. Stand on your feet today. See, Pastor, I'm ready for a new sound. I don't want to walk around with old wineskin, but I'm ready for a new sound to be produced in my life. I don't want to be stuck to a generational sound. I don't want to be stuck to where I'm at. I want God to produce something new in my life. I'm ready for God to take me to a new place. And I know it starts with a new sound. I want to change what I'm hearing. I want to change what I'm saying. I want to sing a new song unto the Lord. I want to sing with passion. I want to position myself to receive the new wine that God has for me. I'm ready to receive that thing from God. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, this series, as we kick it off, I'm ready to position myself as new wineskin. I want a new sound to come out of my mouth. I want a new song to come out of my heart. I want something new to be coming in my ear and out of my mouth. I'm ready for God to change my sound, God to change my environment. If that's you, I want you to join me around the front today. Say, I'm ready. This series is going to be good in my life. This series is going to be groundbreaking in my life. This series is going to be a new thing. Join me around the front. If you're a guest today, you're welcome to join us in the front. Nobody's going to do anything to you. Nobody's going to touch you or do anything weird to you. We're just going to come to the front and just worship together. We step out. We step out together. It's just a symbol. It says, God, I'm stepping out and coming to agreement of this word which was spoken over my life. So step in, guys. Make room for those coming in. More room in the middle. Yeah, come on in, guys. How many know when the praises go up, the chains come off? Isn't that true? You want God to take the chains off of your life? You get to get to praise Him. Praise Him in a fresh way. Praise Him in a new way. That's what was happening with Paul and Silas in our prison. The chains came off when they began to praise God in the middle of their storm, in the middle of their tragedy, in the middle of their pain, injustice. They praised the Lord anyway. A new sound came out of their mouth. It produced freedom in their life. It produced chains falling in their life. Come on, let's sing to the Lord. Let's make it personal. God, change our sound.
There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
Lift your hands up this morning where you're at. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift our hands up to you. God, I pray that right now there's a new sound coming. There's a new sound coming to your people. God, it's a sound from heaven that's drawing us close to you. God, I pray the sound that would come from Destiny Church will be heard around this community. A sound of life changing, a sound of salvation, a sound of healing, a sound of forgiveness, a sound of broken marriages put back together, children coming home. God, I believe right now as you're rising up, Lord, a new sound of worship, a sound of passion, a sound of fire, a sound of celebration, a sound of praise. Lord, right now, you're rising up a new sound in our life. You're allowing old things to come off, new things to be created in our life. No longer, God, to be a victim. But God, you're making stew. New wineskins, God, preparing us now. Come on, I hear the chains falling.
I hear the chains falling.
Come on, let it ring. See it in your eyes. Come on.
There is power.
Father, right now, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are the God who sets us free. God, I pray that the sound of a mighty rushing wind would fill this place. That God, when we come together, the Lord, we would come with passion, expectancy in our heart. That God, there would be something new that comes out of us, to your destiny. God, we don't want to be tied, Lord. We've been through some great things. We've had some great experiences. But God, we're not going to stop here. We're not stopping and building a home here. God, we're going forward. God, we're moving forward to where you're calling us to be. God, we're walking there in our marriages, in our lives, in our homes, in our friends, in our families, in our children. God, as individuals, in our schools, Lord, in our careers, the thing you're calling us to, God, we're moving forward. We are not going to be the victim. But God, you called us to be the head, not the tail. We're going to walk with our heads up. We're going to survive what life's throwing us. And God, we're going to walk as children called of you, breaking chains. A new sound is coming through our ears. We're going to hear that. And God, we're going to walk with boldness. Now, I want you to put your hands together one more time. Say, God, I love you. Come on, celebrate them today. All right, now, listen. This is going to be a fun series. We're going to have a lot of fun. This is always going to be good. This is going to be fun. As you know, we're going to enjoy it. Man, God's going to do something really great. So I hope that this week you're positioning yourself. For every week you come and say, God, I'm ready for the next level. God, I'm ready. I want to hear a new sound. I want to produce a new sound. How many say, Pastor, I'll do that, man. I want to prepare myself all week long. It's going to be powerful. I'm telling you, you better get ready. You better get ready. It's going to be powerful. Come with faith, man. Expect it. Turn to get someone a big high five and say, man, I want to hear a new sound. How about you? God bless you. We'll see you tonight at the Life Group Picnics.